You're listening to the IM&M Intelligent Buildings podcast with founder and CEO of the IM&M Suite, Paul Wells.
Hello, my name is Paul Wells, and this is the third in the series of podcasts looking at intelligent buildings. And I'm here today at British Land to talk to Julian Barker, head of Smart Places, to discuss his view of smart buildings. Julian, many thanks for agreeing to talk to us today.
Very welcome.
If possible, we'd like to get your views as a property manager on the following questions. Firstly, how would you define smart buildings? How are you using smart within your organisation? And what do you think are the key benefits and challenges?
Sure. So I think the first thing to say is that smart is more than just tech gizmos. At British Land, we think of smart as digital placemaking. It's about using technology innovatively in the built environment to enable people to engage seamlessly with and optimise their space. So it's as much about what you do with the technology as about the technology itself. Before I say what exactly we're doing, I think it's important to say why we think this is important as a company. And fundamentally, this comes down to the fact that this is what we perceive that people increasingly want. If you think about how the technology that you can use in your home has changed over the past 10 years, but even 5 years, and even frankly the last 12 months, it's changing enormously fast. And if you compare that to how our offices have, or more specifically haven't really changed over the past 30 years, there is a big and increasing push for people not wanting to feel like they're going back in time when they go into their work. We want our offices to be the kind of places that people want to work in the future, and that occupiers want to rent as we face collectively into our shared climate change issues. And so we want to be able to help our customers, by which I mean our tenants, achieve the aims that they're driving for. We want to help them attract talent, create exciting and productive spaces, and enhance their employees' well-being. And as part of this for British Land as well, this is about strengthening our relationships with our customers. We're now having more regular and more collaborative conversations than we ever used to before. So what are we actually doing? At BL, we think across three different pillars of smart. The first one is the hardware. We're making sure that whenever we get the opportunity to, which in the real estate business might possibly be every 10 or 20 years, that we put the right equipment in. We put equipment that speaks over an internet environment in a secure manner, that can send and receive data in a uniform way. Then what do we do with the data? That's the second pillar, is the data environment. We're bringing the data together from the hardware in the buildings, but from the other multiplicity of different sources that are gradually coming online, to allow us to pool all this data together to really understand what is happening in buildings. And when you understand it, you can then improve it, you can optimize it. You can optimize it for comfort, productivity, cost, environmental impact. Now, clearly you can't optimize for all of those things at the same time, but if you have this data, if you have the real understanding of what's going on, you can make decisions about how you want to make that place great. Initially, this optimization we perceive will happen through human-driven analysis and insight, but gradually and over time, this will be increasingly AI-driven. The third pillar then is user experience, provisioning this data, this functionality back to users to enable them to engage seamlessly with space. So what are the benefits? The benefits, I think, fall into three categories: the occupier, the user, and then society as a whole. For the occupier, the benefits are things like lower operating costs from more efficient space, that's getting the most out of space, and running it more cheaply. And then things like brand and talent acquisition. For the user, it's about enabling you to be at your best in the space, to be happier, healthier, more engaged, and more productive. And then society is a really important point. In order to fulfill some of the climate change impact reductions that we as an industry and we as society have to achieve over the coming years, the only way I think that we can do that is by making buildings as efficient as they possibly can. Now, as an industry, we can do an awful lot in terms of what we build from, how we reuse space, how we change the processes around design and construction. But ultimately, we can't optimize it as much as we should be able to unless we can make it work efficiently in operation. So you asked about the challenges. The challenges are pretty broad. This is a completely new way of working for what is a pretty old-fashioned industry. So there's a total attitudinal shift required. As companies, we're all going to need to, British Land and all of the other companies in the sector are going to need to increasingly become data-centric in the way we operate. We're going to have to learn to interact with our occupiers not once every 20 years, but on a day-by-day basis to work out what they want and how we respond to it. And we're also going to have to reframe the supply chain. We're going to have to change it so that developers aren't hit by huge change fees when a product that they specify in stage one or stage two is obsolete by the time the building's actually open. So there are numerous challenges that we're going to have to get over.
So Julian, where do you see smart technology going, and what is your hopes for the future?
Well, I think a lot of this is about connectivity. It's about connecting all elements of the built environment. To begin with, that's the things that I've talked about already, the M&E equipment, the lighting circuits, the HVAC circuits, so that you can understand what's happening with them and control them. But increasingly, it's also about tagging all those other objects and gradually over time, turning them into electrically remotely controllable objects. So things, for example, like desks and chairs, I envisage a future where, not that far away, you come into work and your work environment is set up in the way you want it to, wherever you happen to be sitting that day. So the desk is at the right height, the chair is set up correctly for you, the lighting and temperature around your desk area are in the environment that you want to work in. And my hope and expectation is that smart plays a critical part in achieving a few really important changes over the coming years. The first one is environmental efficiency. As an industry, although we can do an awful lot to lower our environmental impact by changing building methods, processes and materials, we can't reduce the embodied carbon in buildings to the extent that we must without changing how we operate them. And the only way we can be truly efficient in operating them is to understand exactly what's going on and ultimately employ the power of big data and artificial intelligence to operate them really efficiently. And an example of the kind of thing we're doing at British Land, over the last decade or so, we've rolled out smart metering across our estate, that's in retail and offices, and we've reduced our energy usage by more than 40% over that time. And this is because we understand in a way that we never had understanding before, how energy is being used. And then you can make very targeted changes with outsized impact. So the second area that I hope that smart can make a big contribution to is in making spaces attractive. We're rapidly moving towards a world where coming into the office is not a fundamental part of being able to do your job. Now, some people would say we're there already, but if you think where we were 10, certainly 20 years ago, the only way to do your job was to turn up for work and sit at your desk. We're now in a world where, you know, a day or two a week, most of us can productively work from home. And as technology improves and as the expectations about what work is and how it's done change, we are moving into a world where that could reduce to you know, 1-2 days a week in the office at most. And it's incumbent, therefore, I think, upon landlords to work with employers to decide how we can make workspace somewhere that people want to come, somewhere that people want to be, because that's where they can be at their most productive, because otherwise people will just resist being able to come into work. And what are we doing? Well, here in our headquarters, we are running trials to extract data from some of our M&E equipment in some of the meeting rooms, so things like the lighting circuits and the HVAC circuits, and then comparing that with the utilization statistics in real time with those rooms. And we're working out how we can use all of that data together to optimize the environment. The first step that we have taken is enabling people to control the temperature and the lighting over an internet connection on their phone. And the next step is to real-time understand, well, if there are more people in the meeting room, do I need to change the airflow and things like that? So the third element that I think smart can really help with over the coming years is then efficient spaces. Because the flip side of what I was saying about attractive spaces is that we need to help employers, we need to help our occupiers, the people who pay the rent, run their space as efficiently as they possibly can. Part of that is clearly for the environmental reasons that I've spoken about already, but part of it are simple cost reasons. Similarly, if employers are being pressurized by their employees to only come into work a couple of days a week, the temptation is to think, well, I need far less space. And actually, we think that's a really negative trend. And we want to help people, A, demonstrate how they can make space attractive and productive and valuable to people, but B, run it as efficiently as they possibly can.
So what is your view of the landlord's role in wellbeing, sustainability and placemaking?
Okay, well, look, if I take placemaking first, not least because at the very beginning you'll remember I talked about how British Land conceived smart to be digital placemaking. Perhaps it's worth pausing and defining what British Land feels placemaking actually is, because it's a bit of a buzzword. For me, placemaking is an investment, a capital investment activity that doesn't yield day one income, but that does go towards making a place outstanding and therefore delivers a return in the long term. And clearly, this is an activity that is just central to a landlord, to a developer's function. Not least because there are very few occupiers who are big enough and capable of doing placemaking in their own realm. Clearly there are some who are. People like Apple, people like Google can on a meaningful scale engage in placemaking inside their offices and outside and around them where they have entire campuses. But for the most part, that's not possible for the occupier to do. If you have one or two floors of a multi-tenanted building, there's not much that you can meaningfully do to make that building, to make that broader environment an attractive place to be. And that's where the landlord really kicks in. So the second one then, I guess, maybe is wellbeing, I'd take. Wellbeing is everyone's responsibility. The landlord by themselves can't possibly ensure the wellbeing of everyone in the building. So what I think it's up to is it's up to the landlord, together with the occupier, together with the employer, to work together to deliver the tools to the employee, to the users of that space, to make their space the best it can be, to allow them to be as well as they can be in that space, if you accept that term. And to do that, we're all going to have to work much more closely and much more collaboratively than we ever have before. For example, we're going to have to be confident to share data between companies, to coordinate together on fit out, and to align our incentives. And getting it right is going to require quite a bit of conversation and quite a bit of iteration over the coming years, I think. So the third then is sustainability. Everyone connected to the property industry has clearly got a role to play in reducing our climate impact. We've got to collectively make sure that the places we're building are built more efficiently, as I talked about. We've got to think about the materials we're using, the processes we go about, and also the reusing of spaces that already exist, not just pulling them down and building something beautiful in their place. And the landlord's role in all of this is to make sure, as the person who much of the time sets the requirements for the supply chain to implement, that we're putting ambitious targets in place. And I would make a point as well, which is that something we've observed is that a lot of the big employers out there have got some pretty strenuous climate change, energy reduction, emission targets in their executive remuneration reports. And what that means is that increasingly that kind of space is going to be attractive because the chief executive ain't going to get paid unless he reduces his climate emissions. And quite often, for quite a lot of companies, the biggest lever they have is the energy emissions in their property. So what that means in terms back to the economics for the landlord is that there is going to be a supply-demand pinch point coming where really, really outstanding environmental performance in buildings is really, really attractive to the market. So although everyone connected to the property industry has a role to play, there is clearly a big role for landlords in that they're the ones with the levers that they can pull, and they're the ones who the incentives are increasingly going to be pushing in that direction.
Julian, thank you very much for that. It's really insightful. I know I gained a lot from this, and I'm sure that the people who actually listen to this will also gain a lot. And thank you very much for your time. It's really appreciated.
You're very welcome. Good to talk. Thanks.
For more information about our intelligent building solutions, visit immsuite.com.